to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to hit the bullseye of perhaps one of the most important pieces of information that many of you, probably most of you, have never heard before. Because in the contents of today's Paul McGuire Report, we're going to zero in on, we're going to focus in on exactly what the organizational structure is of this globalist elite, which is taking the human race captivity into a mad dash race of nothing less than global totalitarianism. Now, it's one thing to say that, and I realize it's a mouthful, but it's another thing to be able to prove it. And you and I encounter people every day of our lives that are skeptics. They have no reason for being skeptics. They have no justification for being skeptics because they don't do any research or reading or studying, and therefore, between their ears is a vacuum, like, you know, in outer space, a deep hole of some kind. There's nothing in their mind except for trivial pursuits. And so they love to pick fights and challenge you, even when you're not looking for a fight, you're not looking for a challenge. They'll lay the gauntlet down and basically insult you to your face in front of your relatives or whatever. You're fair game because, after all, you're a Christian, a born-again Christian. That makes you fair game. I don't know about you, but I don't believe God created me to be somebody else's turkey dinner, Thanksgiving dinner. I'll just tell you right now, and I think you would agree with me, I am not fair game, and you are not fair game. And the day has come, in fact, it's long overdue, that Christians, Bible-believing Christians, keep bowing and crawling in the courts of Pharaoh, allowing themselves to be treated like dirt, like slaves, like the worst of all people. Now, that happened because the many generations of Christians before us let it happen. And because Christians, and a lot of people that are deified in the evangelical movement and the Bible-believing movement, There are many great men of God and great women of God that should be acknowledged for their courage, etc. But there's a conspicuous number of people that are put on a pedestal, and the people they put on a pedestal are the very people that, through their negligence, through their not rightly dividing the word of God, not overcoming the spirit of fear, not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and having an authentic vision for America, which would have to include speaking to the powers of darkness, both physical and spiritual, drawing a line in the sand and saying, enough is enough. We're drawing a line in the sand. This is it. If you cross over this land, this is a line, this is a boundary line. So if you're going to cross over the boundary line into our territory where we choose to worship the personal living God of the universe, where we choose to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, we choose of our own volitional will to obey his commandments. If you're going to walk over that line and attempt to trample on our freedoms, we are not the Christians whose identity was locked in to what was going on, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. That's not our identity. That's not our frame of reference. I'll tell you this, I disavow, yes, I disavow completely any connection between the prevailing cowardice then and now, the departure from God's word then and now. I disavow from all of it. That's not me. I wasn't doing that. You weren't doing that. And so what we've inherited in America right now, and this is a tragic thing, and if I was a man that easily cried, I'd probably start weeping, but I'm not a man that easily cries. I'm a man that easily rises, and that has meaning in it. Now, we are at, you know, a final battle. There's no battle after this. What they have planned for planet Earth is so egregious, is so Frankenstein-like, there will be no turning back. So whether you wanted to or did not want to, you are being forced by circumstances, and God's hand is in it. You are being forced by God's circumstances to make a choice from the position you're in. You're either going to take a stand and reclaim that part of America for Jesus Christ and worship and follow Jesus Christ, draw a line in the sand and say, no more. And if the people that hate God, the people whose agenda it is to destroy Christians, destroy Christian values, destroy Judeo-Christian values, and to destroy all the godly Christian biblical realities, historical realities of early America. If people of that mindset have the intention of crossing over that line, that's not going to happen anymore. It's over. Now, please understand and hear my words with precision. Sloppiness in understanding what I'm saying could bring about devastating and catastrophic results. So please lock in to the precision regarding what I'm saying. So let me further define it for you. Let me put it into both micro focus and macro focus. I am not overtly or covertly calling for violence, breaking the law, and other criminal activities. I am in no way, shape, or form calling for things that are illegal, things that kill and hurt people. Why? Because I'm a Christian, and as a Christian, I believe that the battle is primarily spiritual, and I will take a stand, and I will fight, but I will fight on the level of ideas and strategies, but not on the level of violence and breaking the law and guns and things of that nature for a multiplicity of reasons. The first and foremost reason is that if that's the road you're going to travel all the way down, that's just what your enemy wants you to do, because that will give the enemy the cover they need to take out the Christian culture, which is, by the way, ultimately where this is all going. So, right now, the most important thing we can do is to educate people, inform people, teach people, by providing for them credible documentation, credible facts, credible data, credible history. We need to overwhelm the people around us, those that are criticizing us. When they criticize us, our response must be to literally overwhelm them with facts and documentation and the reality of history, et cetera, et cetera. Because we have to prove to anybody looking on, including those that are engaged in the debate and the arguments, we have to prove once and for all that the Christian culture is not the Christian culture of 60, 50, 40, 30 years ago, etc. That anti-intellectual, being proud of being an idiot type of Christianity, that's gone. That's over. And if that's what you're part of, may God have mercy on your soul. I'm serious. That is gone. So, where I want to take us is the documentation behind what we are saying and what we are standing for. So let's go back to this overused statement that is directed to any one of us who dares to think outside of the box and who dares to question the official narrative. They have built their narrative. They have built their grip on America based on deception, based on lies, based on non-truths. So we have to counter it with the overwhelming force of truth, which is the sword of the Spirit, by the way. And let us not forget that truth is an incredibly powerful weapon. That when you speak the truth, when you argue for the truth based on facts, which is truth, documentation, which is truth, when you speak from a place of the truth, you discover that your words are no longer merely words, but your words, because they're truth, now carry with them overwhelming force, overwhelming energy. And the enemies of God are defeated because they are a flimflam house built on lies and fabrications. So let's look at a common accusation, and that is saying that the kinds of things we're talking about is a conspiracy theory. So let's take one example. Many of us may maintain, and that would include me, that planet Earth is ruled essentially by a gigantic pyramidal structure, a pyramidal organizational flowchart, where the wealthiest and richest families rule and reign over planet Earth. They are the globalist elite. And because they have incredible money and power, they rule and reign over the Earth and the nations. Now, for saying that, which is true, which is documented, they call us conspiracy theorists. There's nothing conspiratorial about it. It's all based on facts and documentation. You just need to have those facts and documentation handy. So when people come at you, you can respond with the force of truth and historical accuracy. They'll shut up real quick. You know why they'll shut up real quick? Because they will know instantly that they cannot argue or debate anywhere near the level that you're on. Okay? You are arguing from a position of power. So it's time for biblical Christians to start acting like the people who are arguing from the positions of power and stop arguing like the people who are arguing from the positions of weakness and and lies and not knowing what you're talking about. It's a subtle, but it's a paradigm shift change. Now, let's look at some of the facts, because these facts will devastate any argument they try to present. First of all, it is not a conspiracy theory. It is a fact that the agenda of the globalist elite going back hundreds of years is an agenda to bring about by force a global government by the financial and political elites of the world. And everything that the globalist elite owns through their two main multinational corporations, BlackRock and Vanguard, everything they own, like all the mass media, all the entertainment industry, all government, all politics, all education, all science, etc., etc., they will shout on all their media channels in the internet that you are a liar and a fool because you're promoting a conspiracy theory. Well, who's calling you a liar and a fool? The very people who are financing the engine, the media engine, which insists on calling you a conspiracy theorist. Now, we have to be very clear about this, about what their goal is. I'm going to tell you the goal. Many of you know it. But you can't be afraid of knowing what their goal is, because the proof is certifiable. These people, the globalist elite, their ultimate goal is to, by force, bring about a globalist, occult, one-world empire. Now, you have to understand, we're not just talking about a one-world government. We're talking about a one-world empire. That means their goal is to bring about a one-world dictatorship, a one-world totalitarian state that they own and rule by force. Thus, it is a one-world empire. Now, these people are the majority of them, and don't lie about this. Don't dodge it. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed for just boldly proclaiming the truth. These people, most of them, are not good people. They're evil. They're liars. And it is their desire to steal everything, including your life, from you, and to totally dominate your life, your family's life, and your children, and your nation's life. That's what they're about. You say, I don't believe it. The only reason you don't believe it is because you don't do any reading. People who do not read books and articles and conduct some kind of intellectual analysis after a lot of reading are, generally speaking, foolish people whose credibility is questionable. That should not be you. Now, many people will say, well, no, what you're saying is not true. Of course, they don't know what they're talking about. They will say that the establishment is driven by greed alone. So in other words, everything you see that appears to be conspiratorial really is not conspiratorial. It's just mass greed, the lust for money and power. That's what they'll try to say, but that's not true. Then they will say that the crisis events and shifts in social and political trends are random. They're not the product of deliberate social engineering. They're random. They've happened by random chance. You know, these buffoons use this exact same argument regarding randomness in the scientific realm when they attribute the creation of man to evolution, Charles Darwin's theory, and they'll sum it all up by saying mankind and the animals and everything else
is nothing more than the product of random chance. That is a fictitious, that is staggering and stunning in its stupidity. It's obviously not the product of random chance. Everywhere you look, everything you observe in this reality is the result of planning, engineering, scientific development. It's just the question is, did that scientific development happen by random chance, or did it happen through the intervention of some higher intelligence or supreme being? Another argument that the public and people you know try to use, because they can't handle the truth. When you tell them the truth, their brain cells start to fry. And so they need to default to like irrational coping mechanisms in order to deal with the hardcore evidence you have that they cannot intellectually refute. Because what you're presenting to them is irrefutable evidence that all of creation was designed, planned, and created by the infinite personal living God of the universe. So, they spend their time scheming, forming political alliances. They will even resort to adopting a confused denial of the facts. It's very inconvenient for them because they don't want to believe that a literal, organized, and personal evil on such a global, galactic scale could actually be real. You see, it's too big of a thought out of a, they operate, their brains operate inside a tiny box. So they can't handle it when they are forced to think outside of the tiny box and have to deal with the truth outside of the tiny box, a truth such as evil is organized and personal. So they have put together a full-blown agenda for creating a global government as fast as they can. Now, once upon a time in America, they only talked about it in secret within the super secret elite circles like the Council on Foreign Relations, like the Trilateral Commission, like the Committee of 300, like the Bilderberg Group, like the World Economic Forum, and so on and so forth. All of these organizations have made a fundamental change in their approach. They now publish openly. They speak openly on television and video and radio and the internet and books and articles. They've changed their strategy. They are now out in the open advocating their radical plans for mankind. And they're not apologizing about it anymore. They are telling you in advance what their plans are. And yet, even though they themselves, with full documentation, because they're the authors of the plan, even though they themselves are fully intent on carrying out this global takeover, you have most people in America can't bring themselves to believe it. And most Christians can't bring themselves to believe it. If you knew anything about history, which many of you do, you would recognize that that is the classic era of the middle class and the working class and nations throughout human history. The classic era is to ignore or to not believe the dark and devious plans of your enemies, even when they come right out in the open and openly tell you what they're going to do in terms of their evil plans. And they openly announce to you in advance every dark thing they're going to do. And that gives people plenty of time to defend themselves, plenty of time to organize against the evil people. But the people that are good, the nations, the middle class, the working class, they don't do anything. Even though they've been told in advance, they don't do anything to respond to it. They're like in a state of paralysis. The most classic example is Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany. In his book, Mein Kampf, his classic best-selling manifesto, he wrote down word for word all the evil plans, all the dark plans that he and the Third Reich and the Nazis fully intended to do in broad daylight. He held nothing back. Mein Kampf, he told every dirty little bit of evil that they were planning. He didn't hide anything. So all of Germany, people in nations all around the world, armies, militaries all around the world, anybody with half a brain knew precisely 100% what Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party was going to do, including the Jews, by the way. They knew exactly what he was going to do because he wrote it down in specific detail and he documented it in specific detail. He wrote down that he was going to incinerate the Jews, put them in gas ovens, put them in heating ovens, gas chambers. He announced openly that he was going to murder and slaughter over 34 million Jews and other people, that he openly said he believed they were in a genetically inferior race. And so everything Adolf Hitler openly threatened to do, he did. And nobody stopped him because they could not bring themselves to believe that what he said he would do, he actually did. And this, if you study history, is a recurring flaw in history. This is a recurring flaw in human history. Evil men, dictators, etc., rise to power, they write books, they make speeches, and they detail by detail openly tell the public precisely what they are planning to do when they take over, and nobody believes them. And then when they actually go about the process of mass murder and killing and taking over the world and slaughtering people by the millions, people are shaking their heads in disbelief. Why are you shaking your heads in disbelief? He told you what he was going to do. And history teaches us that when evil men tell you up front what they're going to do, they do it. An example would be the head of Iran and many other nations, Communist China. Okay, so the globalist elite have told you openly what their plan is. I don't agree with anything that Klaus Schwab talks about with the World Economic Forum and the other things that he's involved in. But I will say this about Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. At least, he tells you in great specific detail exactly what he plans to do, how he's going to do it, and what his long-term goal is going to be. Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum cannot be accused of being guilty of sneaking this through. They didn't sneak anything through. They can't be accused of hiding from the public their nefarious plans. because Klaus Schwab and the globalist elite told you up front what their plan was. It's just that you spaced out, you zoned out, you didn't want to hear it. So, this new world order that they're pulling together, this has been in the making for thousands of years. You realize that. If you go back to Genesis 6 in the Bible, you will see a detailed account and a detailed plan of the first new world order. The first new world order depicted in Genesis 6 was built in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. That was the world's first one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. It was a Luciferian system. Now, here's another example of powerful evil men telling you up front, word for word, exactly what they're going to do to you and your families, but you don't pay attention. And then you weep to God that God's so cruel. This is a quote from the Clinton administration Deputy Secretary of State, Stroke Talbot, who wrote in Time magazine that, quote, in the next century, nations as we know it will be obsolete. All states will recognize a single global authority. National sovereignty wasn't such a great idea after all. So he's telling you, we're going to get rid of independent nation states and we're going to create a global government. Here's another statement by another evil man. This is a quote from a globalist and a leader in the Council on Foreign Relations. His name is Richard Gardner, and he wrote an article in the magazine for the Council on Foreign Relations. That magazine is named Foreign Affairs Magazine. And in 1974, Gardner wrote an article entitled, quote, The Hard Road to World Order. And he tells you what they're going to do. You think they have Alzheimer's and you're going to be spared, you're wrong. Quote, in short, the House of World Order will have to be built from the bottom up rather from the top down. It will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James' famous description of reality, but an end run around national sovereignty. Why? Because they want a global government, a global dictatorship. An end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. The NWO, New World Order, has changed many times. And we know that. Okay. So, let's look at what has happened in America and the world in approximately the last 2.5 years. We have had an extensive global crisis, a series of what they call global crisis events, in order to jumpstart the new order. Now, the globalists have been talking about this for, you know, over 100 years, and their time has finally arrived. The beginnings of global government already exist and are already expanding. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's probably going to shock you, most likely, I would think. And I want you to know, among several sources that I've used, because I'm familiar with many of these quotes myself after researching this for decades, supplemental resources that I used were from an article entitled, What is the Council for Inclusive Capitalism? And other material. And this article was written by Brandon Smith. Now, let's look at all the trade treaties, and I wrote about this in my book, Are You Ready?, which you could get at paulmcguire.us. I was the only Christian prophecy teacher in the United States, with the exception of one well-known secular news reporter who even knew of the coming merger of Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and the fact that that was a globalist scheme. And I wrote about it in my book, Are You Ready? And I have a 3-DVD set that exposes it. But everybody else thought, oh, even Christians called me a conspiracy theorist. But it's pretty hard to call me a conspiracy theorist when in my book I have the bylaws, the chapters, the references, the insider written material talking about the coming merger of Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and going into it in great detail. We were told that the reason for that, it would cause an economic boom. It would cause the American worker to be rich. And I remember this as if it was yesterday. People like Clinton, people like, what's his name? He pretends to be a conservative, but he's really a globalist. Newt Gingrich. I remember George Bush Jr. and all of these guys standing on national television and proudly announcing that they had signed a deal to merge Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and how this would mean a massive increase of wealth and manufacturing for the benefit of the American people. And I knew it was a lie. I exposed it. I wrote about it. And people were nervous about having me on their Christian TV shows and stuff like that. They were nervous. But the problem is, I did my homework. I had my facts down. And it did exactly what I warned it would do. Look at America today. Manufacturing is gone for the most part. And those trade treaties bankrupted the lower class, the middle class, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So, let's take a quick break. I want you to go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. McGuire is spelled McGuire, paulmcguire.us. And we need to spread this information far and wide with the documentation as fast as possible because time is running out. I cannot do this by myself. If we will unite together, I'm telling you, if we unite together, we can change the direction of America. But that requires that we operate together, that we surrender our selfishness, and that we are filled with power from on high, and that we gain knowledge in both spiritual things and economic things. If we will not do that to save our own skins and our own children's lives, I'm going to be blunt. We are going to be slaughtered as every other nation in history has been slaughtered. That's not to scare you. Simply telling you the truth. Now, most of you know that because you're regular listeners of the Paul McGuire Report. But we have a world of people who have not caught on yet. So I need you to stand with me. I need you to get serious and commit yourself on a regular basis to donating to making financial contributions, to giving, so that we can expand and strengthen our outreach. I have things that we're doing, that we're in the process of doing, that I cannot discuss openly, or it would shut my ability down to do it. But I'm not here to play games. I'm here to turn this thing around. But every war costs money, and this is a spiritual war. I need your help financially. And as you're praying about that and thinking about that, ask yourself, if there is nobody, two things are needed. Somebody who has the knowledge and the vision of what needs to be done, and somebody who has the resources to get it done. So I need you to stand with me to be an intercessory prayer warrior for me, my family, and this ministry, and to spread the information far and wide. We don't have much time, folks. And if you think that's like, oh, that's hype. No, it's not hype. What we're talking about, I don't give exact dates, but what we're potentially talking about could possibly start in November, anywhere from November to a year or two. I don't think it's going to be the second year. I think it's going to be within a year at the most. Why? Because I've been studying these people, these institutions, these trillionaires for over 40 years. My wife always says, Paul, don't tell people how long you've been studying and researching this. Don't tell people the books you were reading in third grade. She really told me that the other night when we were talking in a loving way. She said, because even if it's true, and Paul, I believe it's true, no one will believe you if you say it. So it's better for you not to say it, even though it's true, than to risk saying it and being dismissed as a liar. So I took her advice. It's kind of sad. But if I tell you the truth of what I know, how long I've known it, you'll think I'm a blowhard. And I'm not going to tell you. But if I did tell you, it's because God put a fire under this boy, because I was a boy back then. God put a fire under this boy's behind many years ago in a quest for truth. And then God put a Holy Spirit burden on my heart for the outcome in the end game. You know what that means? You know what that means? It means that what is driving my life is far, far more than intellectualism, rationalism, all that are important. What that means is that the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, that lives inside my heart, Jesus himself has put a supernatural burden of the Holy Spirit on my heart and on my life to use the knowledge he's given me to help God's people get back on the right track before they're slaughtered. And you can think whatever you want about what I said, but I'll take a lie detector test. You're not supposed to swear on the Bible, but I'll swear on the Bible. That's true what I just said. And the reason I know how deadly the time area is because I've studied these people for so many decades. I know the way they think, and I have never seen them do, the globalist elite, a massive paradigm shift in their thinking the way they are now. Now, for the first time after decades of studying them and watching them operate, they always use the kind of hands-off, laissez-faire strategy. No more. Somewhere at the top of the ruling structure of this planet, they have made a radical philosophical change. And that change simply means that they are going to bring in their Luciferian-dominated New World Order by any means necessary. And you better learn what by any means necessary means. It means death, annihilation, pandemics, and every horror under the sun. Okay. So they have this organization has been around for a while. Take note of it. It is extremely important. It is the Council for Inclusive Capitalism. They deliberately use the term inclusive capitalism to throw you off track. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism is named that way. It's part of the World Economic Forum because they're trying to use subterfuge to fool you and deceive you into thinking that the new global order, the global reset that they're creating, is designed from the beginning to be loving, caring, compassionate, and it's an inclusive capitalism, which that's a lie. That means we want to include everybody in a good life. We want to include everybody and share the wealth equally. So inclusive capitalism is just, it's a propaganda word for what used to be called Marxism and communism. And I want you to really lock in on this. Stop daydreaming. The Global Reset, the World Economic Forum, and the Council for Inclusive Capitalism is nothing more than a rebranding of hardcore Marxism, socialism, and hardcore communism. It's communism and Marxism simply renamed. And don't get fooled again. So, Klaus Schwab has been talking about this openly. And the Council for Inclusive Capitalism, the difference between the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab's group, and the Council for Inclusive Capitalism is this. The World Economic Forum is like an intellectual think tank where they discuss how they're going to make these things happening. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism is the mafia part of the world government. The Council for Inclusive Capitalism is about down and dirty how we're going to implement this with soldiers, death, or whatever it takes. You got it? Now, if you want a clue about the Council for Inclusive Capitalism, the founder of that council is Lynn DeForester. Excuse me, it's Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. So Rothschild is the founding member of the Council for Inclusive Capitalism. And Rothschild is one of, if not the top living member of the Rothschild dynasty. And Rothschild has been involved financing entire nations and governments for generations. And now the Council for Inclusive Capitalism has pulled in Pope Francis from the Vatican, who publicly aligned the Vatican with this council. Why? Because they desperately need to have a one-world religion to make this totalitarian takeover work. Just like the Book of Revelation says, the false prophet. And they lie. They say that the goal of the WEF is to create a shared economy, which means everybody shares the wealth equally. But that's a lie. That's propaganda. Do you think for even a millisecond that Rothschild, that these trillionaires, that the globalist elite have any remote intention whatsoever of sharing the wealth equally? What are you, out of your mind? In all of human history, the globalist elite, whether it was the Pharaoh God Kings or the kings and the queens or the Mayan emperors or the Chinese dynasties, none of them None of them, without exception, ever shared their wealth. They hoarded their wealth and expanded their power for themselves. That's inclusive capitalism. But you see, they know that they sufficiently dumbed down the American public so that the American public would follow a donkey if it was put before them. And so the purpose of this new words, inclusive capitalism, is nothing more than to con the masses into accepting a rebranded version of hardcore communism. Yes, they're promising you. Yes, they're promising you. They're promising you and the masses that you won't have to worry anymore about your economic future. Oh, wow. But the cost will be your freedom, which means the cost of their making sure you won't have to worry anymore will be your freedom. But remember, all the communists, Marxists, National Socialists, you know, inclusive capitalists, all of these people lie like sociopaths. They have no intention of keeping their word. That's just what they're saying to get the suckers to go along with the happy march to the concentration camp. That's just the tune they play so that the suckers, that's the American middle class, so that the suckers will drink down the poisonous Kool-Aid like Jim Jones. They need a Jim Jones. They need a Pied Piper. They need an antichrist, a false prophet. They need a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economic system. This is Paul McGuire. Visit immediately paulmcguire.us. Spread this message far and wide. And make sure, look, you're either in the game of defending your family, your nation, your God, the Bible, or you're a coward and you're hiding out and you're running. And, you know, Christians like to pick and choose what they read in the Bible. My Bible says very clearly in the book of Revelation, people always quoted this list of sins, fornicators, they committed immorality, and they go, oh, so horrible. These people are so evil. Of course they don't deserve to get into heaven. You know what passage I'm talking about. But in that list of sins that keeps people out of heaven, the first sin listed is the sin called cowardice. In other words, being a coward can keep you out of heaven because your name won't be written in the book of life. And the sin of cowardice, if you actually read the Bible, the sin of cowardice is considered in the eyes of God a far greater sin than all the sexually immoral stuff that people normally jump all over. So if you're going to a pastor who's a coward, a Christian leader or a minister who's a coward, a seminary which teaches cowardiceness, the only thing you can receive from that is how to be a coward. And remember, according to Jesus in the book of Revelation, being a coward is a sin that can keep you out of heaven. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.